In the fall each year we all congregate, the bad dog gathered at the church's tailgate. The scriptures reading from the book of Munson, our favorite verse, my God, a freshman. Drunk and obnoxious, what Georgia fame, ain't nothing finer in the land. Now the 3,000 of our best friends, it's Saturday in that thing.
We are excited to be joined today by TJ Callaway. TJ is the owner and founder of Onward Reserve, and he is most importantly a damn good dog and a Georgia graduate. So TJ, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So I guess first off, just tell us a little bit about your journey to Georgia and the role that UGA kind of played in your path.
So my dad went to Georgia, but I grew up in South Georgia, and I guess this is a confession coming out of the gate. My mom went to Florida State, and we were only about 30 minutes from the stadium, and she had tickets there. So I grew up a Florida State fan, but you know, knew I wanted to go to Georgia. And, you know, as soon as I got there, Athens is about the best place on earth. So how could you not fall in love immediately? So, you know, had a really, really awesome experience there. And then, frankly, I think that, UGA in general has been maybe more impactful, for me post graduation than it even was there. So, you know, we obviously, I founded our business there in Athens. Our first store was downtown on a reserve on Clayton Street. And then, I lived there. After school, I moved to Atlanta and did banking stuff for a while. And then about 4 or 5 years later, I moved back to Athens to found on a reserve. So I lived there for another almost kind of college stint. I was there for 3 or 4 years before moving. We're back in Atlanta now. But, it's been incredible, and I've stayed involved really since graduation. I was the president of the Young Alumni Board for the business school probably 10 years ago now. And then I serve on the alumni board, UGA Alumni Association board now. So it's been really fun. And, you know, we're donors and volunteers with the McGill Society with athletics. So it's been really fun to get involved in lots of different buckets. It's really amazing how much different stuff goes on campus. I mean, it's a huge organization, so it's been very impactful.
So I want to unpack a little bit of that. First thing is, grew up a Noles fan. So when did you graduate from Georgia? What year?
So I was 07 from Georgia. So I timed it pretty well. I pretty much moved to Athens with Mark Richt, or maybe he beat me by a little while.
But great timing.
Yeah. So it was good timing for everybody. But I mean, you know, it was pretty wild times growing up, and you know, not really appreciating what you were watching down there. But you know, that was kind of in the heyday of FSU, which is they've fallen quite a bit. But Richt was obviously a phenomenal coach, and it was cool to watch him kind of transform Georgia into being relevant again.
Yeah. So my older brother is a huge Florida State fan, has been for years. And, you know, man, the 90s, Florida State was it. I mean, Coach Bowden was getting every good recruit in the country. I mean, he was essentially recruiting then like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are recruiting now. I mean, if you were a kid that was good at ball, that's where you went. So, well, that's funny. So, did you went to Terry School when you were at UGA?
I did. So yeah, I was a finance major, and you know, so entered Terry just undergrad. I didn't go to business school, but undergrad, graduated with a major from Terry. Yeah.
Now, you said when you graduated, you had initially been in the banking field. Had you always had an entrepreneurial spirit and just didn't leap yet when you got done with school? Or what was the origin story of going, you know what, I don't know if I really want to be involved in the banking field, maybe I want to do something else?
I think I did. I mean, my dad was in banking. I, you know, I guess when I was a little kid, I always, you know, you hear how, you know, if you want to make a bunch of money, you want to be an investment banker. So I was like, okay, I guess I should do that. But in reality, as far as, you know, unsolicited just business advice, and I tell students this that I work with, even if you want to be an entrepreneur, it really helps to get out there and get some real professional experience, not only for the experience, but, you know, when you're starting a company and you say, oh, hey, I'm a former investment banker and this is what I'm going to do, that gets taken a lot more seriously than, hey, I graduated from college 2 days ago, this is what I want to do.
Right.
Then that's just the harsh reality. I in no way encourage entrepreneurship, because to answer your question, I think I just am a very entrepreneurial person. The kind of quick bullet point answer to, you know, people say, why did you leave, you know, an investment banking job? And the answer is I had an entrepreneurial and a creative itch that weren't being scratched. And I never in a million years, if you'd asked me when I was in college or at any time prior, if you had said, you know, I would be in the apparel business or in the fashion world, that was not even on the radar. But I love it. I mean, I really love the creative aspects of it. I love, you know, it's been amazing how it's given me a really good reason to stay plugged in Athens and with UGA. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it. I've loved the journey. But yeah, I enjoyed the bank. I'm glad I'm not there anymore, but it was good experience. And then I realized I needed to get out and do something. And I looked at all kind of different stuff, and we started, you know, Onward was online first. And so we got some good traction, and I left the bank and then opened the store in Athens, and the rest is history.
What year did you open the first store in Athens?
2012. So almost 10 years ago.
Okay.
And yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, Athens put us on the map. I mean, we would not be what we are today without that store and all of the loyal customers that have really, you know, discovered us in Athens and then taken us with them wherever they go after school. So I'm super thankful for that.
And were y'all's store contents in 12 similar to what they are now? Was your inventory similar, or has that kind of evolved over the last, you know, 8 years?
It's evolved a lot. So we, you know, we started as a specialty retailer selling, you know, I mean, gosh, we had at one point we had upwards of 100 different brands that we carried in our store and online. And then over time, what we realized that we really wanted to be able to curate a collection, you know, on our own and make it exactly what we wanted it to be. So over time, we've developed the skill set and the team to design goods right here. And we design apparel in our Atlanta showroom, and then it's manufactured all over the world, really. I mean, it's depending on the category, you know, we want to get it from the place that's going to give us the best intersection of quality and value. So, you know, we manufacture stuff all over the world, and that's kind of the mix now. We still have some brand. I mean, we're not one of these brands, which a lot do, where we're going to just kind of knock off everything. You know, if a brand like Smathers and Branson Needlepoint Belts and Accessories, is we do a ton of business with them. I have no interest in, you know, trying to get into that business. They've been a great partner for us. They're the market leader in what they do. So we still partner with them on that. You know, Barber jackets out of England, you know, we're not going to make a knockoff Barber jacket, which many other brands have done. I mean, if someone is really known for what they do, then we respect that in a major way. We just have, you know, our core products and our core categories, we have developed, you know, kind of what we want our look to be. And some of those brands complement it, and we've kept them around. And then, you know, some of them we've dropped over time. But that's the biggest shift, is that we were originally just a retailer, and now we really are a true kind of multi-channel brand. That just happened to have started as a retailer, which is pretty unique.
Well, I can't not talk to you about y'all's UGA focused stuff. Y'all have one of my favorite, I guess, logos that y'all have is the dog with the gator in the mouth. I mean, that's fantastic. And then I love the stuff that y'all have done with Steve Penley. How did that partnership materialize, and what's that relationship like?
So with the Georgia Florida, that's actually an old, it's the Jacksonville Bulldog Club's logo. And we kind of, I saw it on, like one of my friends had like bought an old shirt on eBay or something. And that's where I saw the logo. And then we have kind of popularized it, and we obviously worked with, you know, with UGA Athletics and with the Jacksonville Bulldog Club to get permission to use that. But we're that outside of the Jacksonville Bulldog Club, that logo is exclusive to us. So it's been a really, it's been a good one. And this time of year, especially. So that's been a fun logo.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the artist side, we have that, that's been something that, you know, I want things to be unique, and I want things to be exclusive to us. So we've got really a handful of artists now. We've got about five different artists at the moment that we work with. And one is Jamie Calkin, who's there.
Oh, yeah, I love Jamie. His stuff's fantastic.
Yeah, so they, you know, he's been really popular in Athens and with our UGA stuff. And, you know, obviously Penley's a great name. And then we've got we just added a guy, it's actually Chase Lawrence's little brother, in Clemson. We have a store in Clemson. I probably shouldn't mention that on here, but yeah, that's been a cool one. And then Patrick Lewis here in Atlanta, who's really got a cool style and is really great to work with and does a lot of custom stuff for us and turns it around. So we kind of, you know, we created that space of putting unique art on the back of a t-shirt, and you know, we have exclusive arrangements with all the artists we work with so that they're, you know, they're working with us only. So that's been it's been a really great program, both UGA and just general lifestyle, you know, t-shirts. That's been a really good one.
So you said the business had started as an online retailer. What was the kind of flashpoint moment where you said, hey, maybe we should move into brick and mortar? Or was brick and mortar always the long game for you? Or is that something that kind of materialized as the business grew?
I will give you the very deeply strategic way that we came along our store. I was in Athens working like crazy, and did not really get out of my office much. It was kind of, I mean, I was still single, and it was literally, I don't know how many hours there are in a week, but if I wasn't asleep, I was working. And a friend was in town and called and said, you need to, you know, you got to get out and come meet us for a drink. And so I went downtown, and I happened to be walking down Clayton Street, and the store where we are now, somebody had just put up a for lease sign that day. And if you know the location, I mean, it's prime time location. So the next day, and the landlord basically said, I've got five or six people that are interested, but I'd rather work with somebody local. If you're interested, I need a check in the next 48 hours. So I had to go home and, you know, do some back of the napkin math and just figure out whether we thought we ought to try it or not. And really at the time, my train of thought was, okay, well, kind of here's what we need to do in order to break even. And I think we can do that much. And then, you know, we already had the inventory in our warehouse from the website. So we kind of just moved all the inventory into the store. And the vision was that it would just be, I was like, this is a really high traffic area, so you know, this will just be advertising for the website, and if it breaks even, great. And it's been the best. I mean, we've got 12 stores now, and it still is the best store in the company. I mean, it's really been incredible from day one. And I think a lot of that is our authentic connection to Athens and how people have embraced us you know, as part of their Athens experience. So it was not you know, it was certainly not as, you know, well designed as people might assume it was, but I'm very lucky that I was called to go downtown that night. I've become a pretty big believer in just kind of fate and things kind of happening the way they're supposed to, and that was a big one.
That's just a lesson to all the listeners out there. Good things happen when you're in downtown Athens.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm always interested in brands and how they come to be. So tell us why Ornament Reserve? How did the logo come to be? What's kind of that background story?
So I started the business with two friends. They're both from Mississippi. One of them had been my roommate in Atlanta when we were both doing, you know, finance stuff. And their family had a hunting place in the Mississippi Delta in a little town or area called Onward, Mississippi. And in that town and actually on their piece of property, when Teddy Roosevelt was president, he had a hunting excursion down to this property, and the owner at the time and the hunting manager were so determined that the president was going to kill a bear while he was there to hunt. They actually trapped one and had it out in the area where he was going to be, and I guess released it or something. But essentially he kind of caught wind of what had happened, and being the sportsman and conservationist that he was, chose not to shoot the bear. And then, this went the old timey version of viral and kind of became national news. And there was a cartoon in the Washington Post about this hunting story. And then, fast forward, a toy maker in New York wrote the White House and asked for permission to make a plush bear and call it the teddy bear in response to this story. So that's what's kind of cool about the story. We were there, on a hunting trip when, the idea for all of this came up. And then, the logo is the bear, because obviously who can't relate to a teddy bear? And I had never heard that story. And I think that most people, don't realize that that's where, the whole teddy bear thing came from. So it's really a cool, it's a cool story.
Don't quote me on this, but my wife and I used to live in Boston and I want to say that the toy store FAO Schwartz plays into that story.
Very well may. Yeah. I do know it was a New York toy maker. So, I mean, it may very well have been them.
That is really cool. That's what a great story. I love that. I was a history major in college, so I love stuff like that. That's a great background story. Well, tell us this. Tell all the listeners best places for them to find you. We'll obviously link the link to the website on our show notes. Everybody can go scoop everything up. We've got dogs, gators coming up here in a couple of weeks. Everybody needs a new polo, I think, or at least a new hat or something.
That's right.
We'll shoot them there. And then if they are looking to go to brick and mortar stores, where are those 12 locations? Where can they access those?
So obviously Athens, we've got a few in Metro Atlanta. We've got a store in Buckhead, really two. We've got our Buckhead store and then one at the Peachtree Battle Shopping Center. We're at Pond City Market and we're up at Avalon now. We just opened up in Alpharetta. And then in Georgia, we're in my hometown of Thomasville, Athens, Atlanta. Then we're also in Charlotte and Chattanooga, and we're in Clemson. We're most recently have moved some stores into Texas. We're in Dallas and in College Station out there. What am I forgetting? Well, it's actually, if you're in South Georgia, we've got an outlet now that is next door to our Thomasville store, which has been hugely successful. That even through this crazy year that we've been in, their Thomasville's store is actually up to last year because the outlet has been so successful. God, who am I forgetting? Forgetting somebody. Oh, Raleigh. We just opened in Raleigh.
Oh, cool.
So we're kind of, they're sort of smothered around. And then we've got about 100 independent specialty stores that now sell our designs. So you can, check our website or ask your local store if they have us and why they don't have us if they don't.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Give them the business if they're not carrying on reserve. I like that. Well, hey, TJ, we close all our interviews the same way. We do something called the Smart 16, which is 16 questions in honor of Coach Smart. So I'm going to shoot them at you and we'll roll with them. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. So first one is, what's your middle name?
Middle name is James.
All right. Who is your favorite dog of all time?
I had to do a combo of Sony and Chubb here.
That's a good one.
You know,
17 was a heck of a year, brother.
Package deal. So
yeah. All right. What is your favorite Georgia game as a fan, as an alum?
This is close, and I'm going to hit the other one in a few more, I think. But Notre Dame and South Bend was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. My wife and I flew up into Chicago, drove into South Bend. How wide was it being there and so many dogs also there? Like, it kind of felt like Athens North the whole weekend.
And that's what was – I mean, I think that is what was so special about it. That was cool. That's an experience that I certainly will not forget.
Was y'all's experience, too, that the folks in South Bend, whether it be their hospitality people or just the folks that you interacted with, were just about as kind as they could be and kind of added to the experience?
I mean, the entire experience was incredible. And frankly, I think it is – well, not I think. I mean, you can see it. It is – it that year and that trip made a serious impact on – you know, our fan base and our stadium and our town. And I think that they, you know, they really did a phenomenal job, and we've picked up on some of the things that they did and have implemented those in Athens. So I think they're very good.
Yeah, I agree. All right. What's your favorite rivalry that the Dogs have?
The cool thing about Georgia is how many, especially kind of over my limited, vintage here, that you know, that you hate so many different people for so many different reasons, but I think ultimately I think Florida is the one that will stand the test of time. There's another team out there that we've had bad luck with recently that I won't mention, but I think Florida is the one that, no matter what, you know, you there's times where you hate Tennessee, but you know, who cares this year? And then there's times when you hate Auburn. And when I was in school at Georgia, Alabama was still completely irrelevant. So, you know, I think there's ebbs and flows with a lot of our rivals, but Florida is the one that, you know, you always love to hate. And I grew up a Florida State fan, so I doubly hate Florida.
Yeah, that's the one for me and Boss, my co-host too. And it's interesting. We thought that would be the prevalent answer in these interviews, and it's been Auburn so far, which, I mean, makes sense. But, sure. You know, Florida for me, and I think for Boss too, they could be coming to that game 0-6, and beating them would still be the best thing of the year for me. Like, yeah. I love seeing them lose. So,
yeah. And Auburn's a great rivalry, and there's amazing history there, but I don't hate them as much as I hate Florida.
Yeah, I'm the same on that, brother. I'm the same. All right, what's your favorite away stadium in the Southeastern Conference?
This one is a little bit timely as opposed to timeless, but I put Vanderbilt just because it seems like every time we go, it's a home game.
That's true. Yeah, we went last year for the opener, and it was great. It was like kind of a Georgia party the whole weekend. Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And A-plus town too, so you just best of both worlds.
Yeah.
All right, what is the loudest home game you've ever attended at Sanford Stadium?
So when I was a freshman at Georgia in 2003 and got last minute good tickets to go to the SEC championship where LSU just waxed us. And then the next year we happened to have LSU at home. And I think that was the loudest game I've ever attended. And was
all right. You get to choose the headlining act at the Georgia Theater. Who do you choose?
So I said the Future Birds because, and they're recent, but yeah, they were fraternity brothers of mine, and they've done a good job, and so that's who I picked.
All right, I like that. All right, what's the cocktail you're mixing for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party?
Everybody who follows me knows I'm a big transfusion guy, which is a golf course drink.
Yep.
And then, you know, my other would be bourbon and ginger ale. I'm not a bourbon coke guy, but ginger ale.
So I'm going to go on a tangent on that because there's ginger ale and a good transfusion too. So
I noticed that when I was writing this down. Maybe I'm just a ginger ale guy. I don't know.
So I grew up in a little area in Virginia called Tappahannock, and I had kin that are from Lancaster County, which is in Virginia's Northern Neck. And there's a ginger ale called Northern Neck Ginger Ale that I grew up drinking. Cool. And, you know, it's like everything else you grew up with, you swear by it, right? Well, my wife read me an article last night that I guess they are discontinuing the product.
No.
Oh, it cut me deep, brother. So I'm gonna have to get my dad to stock up for me before they cut the cannon line off. But I'll have to get you some since you're a ginger ale man. I'll have to get you some
That'd
of that.
Be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's right. good. It's good. All right. If you are back in Athens for one meal, you only get one meal. What's your favorite place to eat in Athens?
I'd still say Last Resort here, and it's great because I have the ability to be in Athens at random times. So I can usually kind of, if I'm there for work, I can pop into Last Resort and, you know, it's hard to go on a game day or a parents weekend, but if you can just pop in on a Tuesday when it's not busy.
Last Resort has been a very popular choice.
Yeah. Trying to come up with something that wouldn't be so generic, but it's just, it's, you know, it is what it is. It's
pretty, yeah. I think it speaks to their product. So many people like it and are fond of it. So yeah, I love that. All right. Do you have any game day superstitions as a fan? Shirts you got to wear, anything like that?
I wear Honor Reserve from head to toe.
Love that.
I think everybody should.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What's your favorite Sanford Stadium pregame tradition? Whether it's Lone Trumpet, Redcoat Marching Band coming out and spelling Georgia, dog walk. What do you love?
It's a little bit of everything, but really the trumpet is probably, I think, the coolest.
Yeah, that's a hair stand up on your arm moment for sure. Okay, black jerseys, yes or no?
The most electric moments, one of the most electric moments in Sanford Stadium ever was the blackout Alabama until the game started. I'm not there with it. No.
All right, what is the loss you're still not over?
I put no comment. I think I think we all know what that one was.
Yeah, that's been almost a unanimous answer. So and yeah, I get
been
that.
About three of them. So
yeah,
but the yeah, it's I can't talk about it.
What is what's your order at the varsity?
So this does not sound, but I hope my doctor's not listening to this. I try not to do this often, but two chili dogs with fries and a chocolate milkshake.
I'm here for that, brother. I like that. All right. There ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing noon kickoffs. Yes or no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both for personal reasons and for business reasons, because we do a lot better on a night game and it's more fun to get the lights going and, yeah, no, there should be no noon games.
Yeah. All right, last question. College football playoff, expand to 8 teams or fine how it is?
I honestly think that where we are right now is a good start. And I think that it has allowed a lot more activity than BCS did. Who knows? I mean, maybe it gets expanded, but, you know, you don't want to completely – mess up the bowl, you know, the tradition of bowl games. And then I don't know, I think you expanded to 8 and then whoever was number 9 is going to want to expand it to 16 and then,
right,
and you just can't go on forever. So I don't know, I think it's a good start and certainly something that needs to continue, you know, being talked about. But I think that at 4, you know, if you can't get into the top 4, I think that really has solved the problem of like, okay, well, number 3 really could have beat, you know, they could have won it all. Having 4, if you're not in the top 4, then, I mean, come on. Because all I really care about ultimately is who wins the national championship. So I don't think anybody cares who number 3 ends up being. So I think if you've got 4 good teams and they've all got a shot, then, you know, that's not a bad solution, at least in there.
All right. That completes the Smart 16.
I love it. That was fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, TJ, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. And guys, make sure and go out and get suited up in your Ornwood Reserve gear, especially some dogs base gear. And look, 2 weeks, man. We got to get everybody in the dog with the gator in its mouth. We all need that energy right now.
That'd be fun. Yeah. And yeah, you can follow us. I mean, our Instagram is just at Honor Reserve. And then, you know, my personal is at TJ Callaway 4. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
All right, perfect, TJ. We'll link all that in our show notes. And everybody go follow TJ, go follow Honor Reserve and make sure you're supporting a DJD. So we appreciate the time, TJ.
Cool. Thanks, man. This was great.
Georgia's better now.